What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devo, and this is with Trust in Jesus Ministries, man. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening, man. And if you're joining this content, go ahead and give me a thumbs up, or if you're watching on YouTube, a subscribe, a like. And if you're checking me out on a podcast, go ahead and rate it. Give me 5 stars or whatever you think the stars I deserve. It really helps push the channel, be able to get this content that you say that you enjoy to help others enjoy as well. And I appreciate that. Also, we have a website with a whole lot of other stuff that you can check out to help you grow and trust in Jesus Ministries. And if you feel like it, man, we have a place where you can donate, that you can give to the ministry to help me as we do other things as well, which is Evang Life. We go and we share the gospel and help grow a community of believers with people who live in a nomadic community. And you can check all that stuff out at trustinjesusministries.com. Love to see you there, and subscribe to the newsletter and find out what we're doing each month. It would be great to have that go on as well, to see you partner with us in prayer and all those things. But today we are talking about Jacob again and his continued response. Last episode, we talked about his initial response, that he didn't realize that God was in the area. And so he was just kind of flabbergasted and put up a pillar to represent what he thought it would be. And now we're going to see a little bit of what that pillar is going to stand for, and then what he says he's going to do. So let's go ahead and jump into it. If you haven't read it, we're in Genesis chapter 28, 20 through 22. So stop the tape, check it out, see what it has to say, and then come back and we'll answer the 4 questions. If you've already done it, we're going to go ahead and jump in it. And the first question, my friends, is what is it actually saying? We got to know what it actually says before we can kind of dive into it. And so let's try and see what it has to say. And so what is it saying? It says this. He says that after all of that stuff happened, after he put the pillar up, after he changed the name of the city to Bethel, then it says that he vowed a vow. So Jacob vowed this vow, man. He says, if you will be with me and if you will keep me on my way, which means like, he finished the saying. He says, if you will be with me and if you will keep me on my way where I'm going, and you'll give to me bread to eat and clothes to wear, and then you return me in peace to my father's house, says, then you will be a God to me. And this stone, which I've set as a pillar, it will be a house of God. And all that you give to me, a tenth, I will tithe to you. So a little unique thing right here is that he switches to the second person, because once he brings that tithe up, he's like, I'm going to give it to you, man. Everything you give to me, I'm going to give it back to you, a tenth of it back to you. But I want to talk a little bit about some nuance that could be in verse 21. I couldn't figure out where the number was to be able to talk about it. But so I want to talk about a little nuance here, man. The Hebrews kind of makes it a little bit iffy. And so in most translations, it's going to say, then you will be a God to me. OK, but it could be another way. And then I'll talk about why I brought this up when we get to man. But it could be also stated that, and if you will be a God to me. And so it kind of goes along with, if you will be with me and keep me in my way as I go to the place that I'm going, if you will give me bread, and if you will clothe me, and if you will return me to my father's house in peace, and if you will be a God to me. So it's just, if you will be a God to me, rather than then you will be a God to me. And so it's kind of like, it's in huge, big words, it's called a protasis and an apodosis, which means a if and then a then. And so if is all those ones. And then some translations have then as then you will be a God to me. So if all these things happen, all these conditions happen, then you will be a God to me. But in another way that it could be looked at is actually that is another condition. He's saying that if you will be a God to me, and then the apodosis, which is then, is that this stone or this pillar will be a house of God Okay. And the reason for that is because there is the linguistic sense is that it's still in the same framework of writing. And it changes the framework of writing when it talks about this stone. I know that may be a whole lot, but I just wanted to explain why this could be the way it is rather than the way that most translations translate it. But let's jump back into what is this say about God? Well, I think it says this emphatically, that God is the giver of all things, that God is the one who gives all things, all good things. That's what James says. He's the gift giver. God's the gift giver, the one who gives all things, all good things, man. And we could see it here because he says, and all that you give me, that's what Jacob says, all that you give me. He knows that whatever he's going to receive, whatever he's going to get is going to be from God. And it's only saying this because he's betting on what God has said. He's not claiming anything that God has not already appeared to him and told him when he said he's going to keep him. He's going to return him to his home. He's going to keep him safe, man. He's going to increase his seed. He says all of this. And then Jacob says, okay, now do those things. But God is the one who is going to give all these things. He says, all that you give me. What's this say about man? Well, I think that we have to see that we should allow God to show himself faithful. So in the sense of he says all of these things, ifs. And then he says, then you will be a God to me. He says, man, hey, show yourself faithful, because then I will recognize and know, I will understand and perceive that you are a God to me, that you are Yahweh. That you are the one in whom I can trust and believe, because you said you were going to do these things. And if you do these things, then I will know that you are my God. So for man, I think we should allow God to prove himself faithful. It's not that we're testing God in the sense of putting him under some kind of stress. But what we're doing is allowing him to prove himself faithful, because he said he was going to do these things. And so let him do it. And so that's what I think it kind of means when it says that then you will be a God to me. But it can also mean something else as well when it talks about him saying, and if you will be a God to me, because this is a promise that God has made to him. It is what he has told to the patriarchs before when he says that he will be with him. And he says, and I will be a God to you and to your seed. These are the things that were stated to These were the things that were stated to Abraham and Isaac, that he would be a God to him and his seed. And so now he is just making that same statement, that same qualifier, if you will be a God to me. You know? And so, ask the question here. Then this is application, man. And this is application. I really got to ask the question. Are we allowing God to be a God to us? Because when we are not giving him the time to prove himself, not allowing him to bless us, not allowing him to entrust not allowing him to show his will in our life, that means we're not humbling ourselves, being under his control, his sovereign control, then how can we ever expect to receive the blessings that he's promised to us? It's because when we allow him to do those things in our lives, when we walk in the way in which he has directed us, then that walking walks out into the beautiful open pastures that Isaac had found whenever he decided to not mess with those dudes who continued to try and steal his wells. If you guys remember that story. See, when we walk in the walk of God, when we allow himself to prove himself to us, even though sometimes it's going to get tough, we're going to find out some things are going to go crazy for Jacob. But we'll see that God is going to keep him and grow him through all of those trials. to make him look like the way in which Yahweh wants us to be, to perfect us, to make us truth, to make us righteous. Are you allowing God to do that? Are you allowing God to prove himself? We must follow his way and see what makes of it. But secondly, are you giving, man? Are you giving? And this is not just money, even though this is true, because everything we get is from God. And if we recognize that God is the giver of all things and anything that we receive is from him, then a tenth of it is nothing to give back because it was his in the first place. Are we giving? And specifically to the local church, to the people that you work with, that you know are doing good in this world, in your community, to help grow the faith of the believers that are around. And then to those who are on mission, doing things that would serve God and his people and those who don't know them around the world, around the city, around the state, around the country, and around the world. But it's not just time. It's money. Two of the most precious things people want, the things people want more of, most people, is time and money. Are we giving our time as well? Because that's from God and God alone. Time is in the hands of God. Our lives are in his hands. And are we using those things to give him glory? We read through Ephesians, and it says that the end is near, and so we should grab up the time, man. We should be trying to store it up, to redeem it, to take everything we can to make it better for the people and the people around us, the world around us. Are we doing that? I appreciate you guys for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.